This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
So you listened to all of this afternoon. What's your takeaway?
Well, my first takeaway was I think General Dunford wanted to come out and have this press conference because there's this growing chorus, which is frankly a little ridiculous in my view, that this is some type of covert war going on, that there's kind of shock and surprise that we have this type of presence in Africa. You know, as we've talked about before, yeah. Green Berets, Special Forces are doing this very type of mission in 60 to 80 countries around the world as we speak. And in the case of Niger, it's in a very bad neighborhood with Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, with Boko Haram and with ISIS and weapons pouring out of Libya since that country has fallen apart. Now, tactically, again, we are working through local forces. We're not in combat per se, but we're in a very dangerous neighborhood. And I think the investigation is going to uncover things like, why did it take an hour to initially call for any type of support? As General Dunford said, perhaps it was just a very small initial contact, and the team and the Nigerian commander thought they could handle it.
Right.
And then the other piece is the coordination with the French and the coalition. And where did the intelligence go wrong? Clearly their route was compromised. Was it leaked from the villagers? Was there some type of mistake? All of those things, though, are lessons learned. And those are things that we'll have to carry forward. These missions aren't going to stop. We're in a global war against terrorism.
Absolutely. Let me ask you about this tweet by Representative Wilson, who's been at the center of so much of this controversy. She said Niger is at real Donald Trump's Benghazi. He needs to own it. Your thoughts on that?
You know, I think, frankly, it's a bit ridiculous. I think that's some political gamesmanship. And I would like to see, you know, writ large, this kind of discussion, this political gamesmanship on Gold Star families and how they deal with their loss, get off the headlines. Every family deals with it differently.
Yeah.
I've had families angry at me, angry at the president, angry at the war. I've had others be very thankful, and I just wish it would just, frankly, simmer down and go away.
Do you think, you know, back in the early days of the Benghazi controversy, if that administration had come forward and done what General Dunford did today, that it would have been more transparent, that it might have, you know, not gone the way it did in terms of how many questions there were out there?
Well, I think there was no doubt there was political spin, in an election year in 2012 on 9/11 when it came to Benghazi, and that we heard over and over again it was because of some video from some guy in California and not an attack by Al-Qaeda on our embassy in 9/11. And I think, I commend General Dunford for what he did today. He laid out what we know, and then he laid out what we still have to find out. And again, there's no fault on that team or on the mission. There's lessons to be learned here so that we move forward and prosecute this fight.
Well, Michael Waltz is the CEO of Meta Solutions and co-founder and partner of Ascari Associates. He brings over 20 years of military and senior government official expertise as a Green Beret commander, policy advisor in the Bush White House and Pentagon. As you can tell, he knows what he is talking about, and we're blessed to have his commentary about this situation. And I agree, particularly with his assessment, like as if my agreement would matter much with a commander of a Green Beret capacity. But I'm certainly siding with him relevant to his perception on Benghazi, and it was an overreach by the congresswoman. I don't know where she gets there. I know she connects that dot to even begin to align what happened in Niger as anything close to what happened in Benghazi. And, of course, we're still trying to figure out what happened in Benghazi because, as we know, that anything that had to do with the Obama administration and, Hillary Clinton, it is all shrouded in mystery. But she insists, as the rest of her operatives insist, that's already been litigated. Move on. We don't need to talk about this anymore. I think we do so at a grave mistake, my humble opinion. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now, I am Bill Martinez. We are live.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us, sharing the ride. Good to be sharing a part of your day with you. I'm Bill Martinez. We are live, and Robin Drake joins us now. Entered federal law enforcement in 1997 after graduating from the U.S. Naval Academy and serving in the U.S. Marine Corps, Semper Fi, Robin. He received advanced training and operational experience in social psychology and in the practical application of the science of relationship development. Eventually, he rose to direct the behavioral analysis program in a federal law enforcement agency. Robin, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good, Bill. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, before we talk about the code of trust, I want to get your, you know, your perspective on this controversy that I believe has gone too long, because it's not getting its proper due in terms of support of what President Trump tried to do in speaking with the Gold Star widow and the way that's blown out. I mean, it is a shame. I mean, you know, General Kelly talked about the sacred areas of our life, how they've been compromised. And certainly this is one of those that, regardless of his admonition, the press cannot help themselves and some politicians cannot help themselves but to obliterate the sacredness of a fallen soldier.
Yeah, it was, first of all, you know, spending almost a lifetime of being in federal service, you know, I don't take sides on anything, but what I will say is also a former Marine. I found General Kelly's statement to be pretty majestic. It was probably the most Reagan-esque-like speech I've heard in a very long time, where I didn't, and again, this goes to the core of trust. You know, some people will always take things to their own context and argue context for their own agendas. And that's a shame, because I really thought it was a very well and heart-spoken speech about his own son and his own experiences and also what it means to be a patriot.
Exactly. And in no time, which was surprised, I was shocked. I don't know why, but I was just shocked, because here he is. He opened up his heart, his experience, shared, you know, some private areas of his life with us. And the operatives in the mainstream media could not help themselves. And in fact, even one congressman said, well, the only reason he said that was to save his job. Really? I mean, that I just, there's lost opportunity, as you say, just like, you know, we're going to talk about the code of trust. With the code of trust brings opportunity of growth and understanding that puts it at a whole nother dimension. And right now, see, we're at kind of like low level. It's like we're playing jacks when everybody's playing chess. And we just have we cannot seem to migrate to the chess level. We're not even in checkers right now, Robin. We're down there in the jacks level, and it's a shame, you know.
It is, and it's predictable to some extent, only because, you know, when people get emotionally hijacked, you know, and they let frustration, anger, resentment, and all these functions of the brain that get in their way of cognitive thought processes, where they're actually not even thinking about what their actually end goals is that they're trying to achieve. They allow themselves to, you know, kind of bounce around according to whatever stimuli they're getting according to their emotions. It's going to start undermining their message of what they're trying to do. And that's both sides of the house, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is where a vision is so important right now, because when we get off kilter, as we will, we're human beings, we're gonna do this. It just reminds me of Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men, you know, with the constant theme was, Lenny, tell me, where are we going? Where are we going to live? Oh, let me tell you, you know, and he'd start pronouncing the dream and the vision of being on a lake and they're fishing and the time that they were going to have together. You know, and I think that's what's missing here in our government right now, is that we need to have that constant. You know, when I was consulting CEOs across the country, this is one of the things that I stressed to them repeatedly, Rob, and I said, your number one job is you got to beat the drumbeat of the mission, reminding people constantly of where you're going and how you're doing to that end. That is your number one job. I can imagine sometimes it gets wearing, may even get a little bit boring, but that's what the people want to hear from you. And I believe that's what's missing from the dialogue in our political environment right now, from the leadership, is that when Trump reminds everybody about the hill we're going after and how we're doing with that objective, he does well. When he gets caught off in all these other noise things, you know, these distractions, it takes away from that operation and it exacerbates the look away of the constituency to see, okay, this is still our focus. We're still moving in the right direction, because we do have a lot of positive things to talk about right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I call it the means goals to the ends goals, and people think you have to achieve the means to get to the ends, but I'm a believer in that you have to start with the ends first. And the ends that
exactly.
I think we can all agree upon is we're seeking, you know, prosperous, safe lives for our families, mm-hmm. you know, and our communities. You know, if we can all agree on the fact that we're seeking prosperity and safety, and then you start working backwards, then you actually all have a common goal. And how to get there becomes the new debate.
Well, and I think that that's part of the problem that we have, is that what clearly has come out here in the recent years is the ends. We're seeing different ends here, I think, frankly. You know, I think that, you know, you and I talk, and we say, you know, and especially with me being a former Marine as well, just like, you know, we've been saying with that conversation that Trump had and, you know, with the widow, and even how General Kelly related. It was somebody in the military relating to him. What is everyday code of anybody that joins the military? It's what we sign up to do. We understand that. But somebody who's not in the military doesn't understand that language. That's a different vernacular. And unfortunately, you even have a congresswoman who doesn't understand that vernacular either. Because if she did, she would have come alongside that widow and helped her out in her time of need, not exacerbate the emotion.
You know, and I really thought General Kelly did a great job of describing, you know, one of saying it was courageous to even attempt that phone call, because there's nothing you can say to a mother, a wife, a child that's just lost someone like that. I mean, it's heart wrenching, and they don't want to hear from anyone except, you know, like General Kelly said, his buddies that talk about the kind of man he was and the kind of person he was, and that he was surrounded by people who cared and loved him. And that's all, if you're going to say anything, that's really all you can say. So anything more than that is going to be a dice roll. And you can't argue with the widow's context. You know, she doesn't want to hear from anyone.
Right. Exactly.
And God bless her for it.
Yeah. And General Kelly, made that, admonition to the president, and also said, and maybe somewhere down the road, what will endear her when she gets to that point to have ears to hear is the fellow soldiers who knew her husband. You know, she claimed that the president didn't know his name and that sort of thing, but he served with guys that knew his name. And no doubt he probably had a nickname, you know, and it wasn't LeDavid. It was probably some nickname there out in the field that they assigned to him that was a loving and respectful sort of way and built and added to the camaraderie, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no greater bonding moments in life than shared suffering, whether it's in combat or just being in situations like that. And the bond you have with your fellow man in those situations is insurpassable.
And they know her husband in ways that she will never know. It's impossible, because, you know, she's not in that in that field, in that environment, that, as you say, that life and death environment. So hopefully, you know, she will be open to be blessed by his fellow comrades that would love nothing better but to remember and memorialize LaDava Johnson. More from Robin Drake on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. Radio.recordedvideo.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez Live.
I know some days it does seem like Mission Impossible, doesn't it? I'll tell you, Robin Drake is with us to give us some advice and counsel from his book, Code of Trust in American Counterintelligence. experts, five rules to lead and succeed. Rahm is currently an agent of the FBI, lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I was just sharing with him that being a Southern California boy, my first visit to Fredericksburg was quite spectacular because it was during autumn when the leaves just turn all kinds of different spectacular bright orange colors and red colors and everything. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm a Southern California boy. All the leaves, they turn to smog brown. You know, that's all it is. So it was quite you said the leaves are just starting to turn and there's
finally
God's beautifying project over Fredericksburg these days, huh?
Yeah, definitely. We've had some kooky weather, and even today it's pretty balmy and about 70 degrees. So the fall's been a little delayed, but our leaves are starting to finally go. I actually am a pilot. I do angel flights as a volunteer, I'll be going up later this weekend to see the turning up in the mountains.
Well, at least you're not in L.A. 100 degrees in L.A. for the first game of the World Series. Huh? You imagine what that's going to be like.
Yeah,
hot.
A record.
Without a doubt. Well, Robin's also, he's currently an agent of the FBI, and you didn't have to get freed from an NDA in order to come on the show, did you?
No, but that's why I got to make sure my thoughts and opinions are representing myself and my book alone and not any other organization.
Exactly. Well, that's what we hear these days, so that's the only reason I bring it up. If anything has to do with the FBI and NDA, that's the order of the day. But let's talk about your book, The Code of Trust. What is The Code of Trust?
The Code of Trust is actually a system I devised because I needed it terribly. Yeah. having that, as you read through my background, it's a very typical type A hard charger. But when you work in the world of counterintelligence, where 99.9% of the people you're interacting with have not committed a crime, there's really no reason why they should want to have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And so if you take that hardcore approach at them, their shields are going to be up and they're going to walk away, and they're totally entitled to. So I really had to start understanding really what the core of leadership was and how do you make it about someone else. And the difference is, stop trying to convince people of doing things because you really can't, and start thinking in terms of how can you inspire them to want to. And so that's what the real key of the Code of Trust is inspiration.
Wow. Yeah, because unless you have that trust, that relationship, that bridge of communication, so to speak, you're irrelevant, aren't you?
Yeah, no one's going to take any action. Why would they?
Yeah,
I did an article a number of years ago that this was based on, that I really took a step back and looked at what am I actually doing every time I'm consulting for case agents across the country and all my own stuff I'm doing. And what I realized was every single instance of not just work but my entire life, anytime there's at least one person involved, was I was actually strategizing trust. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're trying to sell a product, sell a service, sell yourself, resource for someone else, is you're strategizing trust, because no one's going to take any action with you or for you unless you have it.
Exactly. Well, you say sell yourself. And see, I came from the genre in marketing and sales, and most of my life was that was the number one proposition, is that there had to be quote-unquote chemistry between you and the other person. If there wasn't, and no matter how bad I needed that service, I wasn't going to – I'll go around you. I'm going to find somebody else to get it from. You know, thanks for letting me know that that's what I need, but I'm just not going to get it from you because I don't trust you.
Absolutely. And chemistry comes down to the language you can use, because, you know, I'm freakishly obsessed with behavior. Mm-hmm. And there's four things you can do to make chemistry and to make trust. And that is seek someone's thoughts and opinions, because when you're doing that, you demonstrate value, you demonstrate affiliation. Talk in terms of their priorities. What's important to them? Needs, wants, dreams, aspirations, personal, professional, long-term, and short-term. Validate them. In other words, not necessarily agreeing with them, but validation means seeking to understand who they are and how they have their opinions that they do. And finally, empower them with choice, because we don't give people choices unless we value them as well. And
exactly.
When you do at least one of those four things and everything you say, you're actually creating chemistry of trust.
Exactly. And I like the idea about validation, because I think that's the biggest disease that has crept into our culture in the last several decades. And that is the invalidation of people, their voice, the very person who they are. To me, I find that quite disgusting.
You're right. It's a challenge, because we're ancient tribal beings, ancient tribal man. We're part of the tribe 40 or 50. And what what we actually always thought was to seeking to be accepted because it was genetically good for our survival.
Yeah, exactly.
And what we're always seeking is that validation, that seeking to understand. A lot of times people understand that someone else is in charge and they're going to set the rules. But as long as someone feels like they've been heard and understood, they're willing to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Validation is to a lot of everything we do because people just want to be heard and understood rather than argued with.
Yeah, and you're talking about these principles of leadership here that you're touching on, and we're seeing them on full display. We can see it applicable with the NFL currently, if I might bring that into play, without getting into a big discussion. But I think it's an appropriate example of knowing that you're hearing what people are saying, you understand it, but I'm sensing it's not there, which is a breakdown in leadership, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, there's multiple sides to everything. You know, everyone has their own context of what is to them from their perspective. And here's a guarantee. If you want shields to be up and people not listen to you, argue that context.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever side you're on, it doesn't matter. I can guarantee the behavior. If you're going to not validate it, in other words, not necessarily agree with it, but just understand exactly what it is they're saying. Because as we're seeing, you know, from these debates, there's a lot of reasons why people are taking knees or putting a fist in the air, not just what other people think it is. I mean, there's so many differing views on this that no one's having a universal context of what is, and they're just arguing their own point of view. And where's it getting you? It's getting
exactly.
Absolutely nowhere.
Well, there's no way you can communicate because our focus of reality, our sense of reality is so different from one player to
yep.
the next. And that came out resoundingly
yep.
clear after 2 days of meetings with the players and the owners, and Roger Goodell had to report to everybody. And he even afterwards, he kind of had that deer in the headlight kind of look, like going, well, we talked about a lot, but I'm not sure that we came to any focus, and going, whoa, man, that's dangerous. You're talking a multi-billion dollar business organization here that you're putting all at risk, not to mention the fact that the fans want to get on with their weekend escape. You know, they were looking forward to football, and they like being able to watch a game on TV and do all the things that go along with watching football, the escapism and all, and now they're being deprived of that. Robin, you talk about the five principles of trust. Break that down for us.
Sure. The five are really quick and simple. Simple to say, maybe not as so simple to execute. The first is suspend your ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you make it about someone else other than yourself? And that's putting your own agenda aside to make sure you're a resource for others, first and foremost. Be non-judgmental is number two. Again, and actually just what you're talking about right now, when you start judging people's context, shields are up. So you have to be non-judgmental so you can seek to understand. When you do that, tolerance starts ensuing. Then honor reason. You know, how do you make sure that you maintain cognitive thought processes without getting emotionally hijacked. So that's what leaders do. Leaders are emotionally attached. This is a code of empathy, if nothing else. But in order to maintain good leadership, you have to be objective, and that's what honor reason means. Validate others, which we talked about already. And finally, be generous. And that is, you know, offer without an expectation of reciprocity. So my third anchor that I talk about a lot with things that I do is I make myself an available resource for others without any expectation of reciprocity. And that's what leaders do. You know, leaders make, you know, themselves a resource for the success and prosperity of others without judgment about where it is that the others are trying to go.
Once again, proving the old adage that it's better to give than receive, right?
Absolutely, especially sometimes people ask me, so, you know, when do you get your reward? Well, if my entire goal was to be a resource to your prosperity and you're prosperous, that's when I get my reward.
Amen to that. The big takeaway, after all is said and done, Robin, we got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I'd say do two things in life. Seek to understand the greatness in others and then understand their priorities and always talk in terms of them and offer yourself as a resource for them all.
Well, Robin Drake has been our guest, who entered law enforcement in 97 after graduating from the U.S. Naval Academy, serving in the U.S. Marine Corps. He is currently an agent of the FBI and lives in Virginia, as we said. His book, The Code of Trust, an American Counterintelligence Expert, gives five rules to lead and succeed. The book available at all the usual places and will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Robin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it a lot, and a great conversation.
Semper Fi.
I had another dream last night about a poor wise man who changes the city.
When you feel alone.
We don't share the same life. We don't share anything.
You can leave. You choose.
And discover a life-changing friendship.
We have solved him. That's a man from that dream.
On October 20th, a simple act of kindness can change everything.
Amazing how far a little 10, 11 care can go.
Find love.
Our lives together will never be as beautiful.
Find hope.
I worried I was so different from other people, but what I found out was everybody's different. Same kind, different as me.
Based on the incredible true story and best-selling book, Same Kind of Different as Me, starring Academy Award nominee Greg Kinnear and Academy Award winner Renee Zellweger. Now play. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. For tickets and showtimes, go to samekindofdifferentasmemovie.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy. They mean something. Bill Martinez, live.
Now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true, he who uses broken things, then here I am.
You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when I look back on history, it is humbling to think what others gave. I mean, yesterday the president awarded the Medal of Honor to a Vietnam vet. It was quite touching and inspiring to hear his story and the heroic stories, you know, that abound. Many are not given the Medal of Honor. But it doesn't take away from their heroic acts of just incredible. How do you put it? I mean, just it is beyond expression, I guess, when you're in that life and death situation and you're able to do what you do. And but it is humbling to be around men who have served and have given so much for the sake of our freedoms here. Our next guest, in his own way, is become quite the hero for something that he's believed in. And he had to, like anything, when you believe in something, sometimes you have to sacrifice more than you even thought to begin with. And Nathan Runkle is his name. And he would have been a fifth-generation farmer in his small Midwestern town. Instead, he founded our nation's leading nonprofit organization for protecting factory-farmed animals. And he's written a new book about it called Mercy for Animals, One Man's Quest to Inspire Compassion and Improve the Lives of Farm Animals. Nathan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here to tell your story. I love passion. I love vision. I love your story. That here it is. I mean, you could have, followed the lead of the generations before you, but there was something else that was waking you up in the middle of the night. Said that, look at this. This issue needs to be represented.
That's right. Yeah, I was born into a family of farmers. I came from a village of less than 2,000 people. Many of my earliest childhood memories are on the John Deere tractor with my father and uncle and grandfather. And I had a deep connection and appreciation and love for the land and for agriculture. And that love extended to animals. And I, at a very young age, started to understand and realize that when it comes to having a spark for life and these shared experiences of life through emotions of happiness, joy, sadness, anger, frustration, animals are our equals. And when it comes to feeling pain, physical pain and emotional distress, they are our equals as well. And that is not just with dogs and cats and animals that we consider to be our companions, but that includes other animals as well, including farmed animals, cows, pigs, chickens. But the way in which we treat them is just absolutely horrific. Most of these small family farms, like that of my family, have been replaced by large industrial farms, and these incredible animals have been taken from the outdoors and brought indoors into small, concentrated animal feeding operations where they are not treated as individuals with minds and interests, but they're treated as resources and production units and machines. And with that has come just an unbelievable amount of cruelty. And I founded the organization when I was 15 years old after a farm animal abuse case, and my local high school illustrated to me that there needed to be an advocate on behalf of these animals. And today we are an international organization. Our work affects over 1 billion animals every single year. And we're seeking change through our legislative system, through corporate policy change, through consumer engagement, because most people believe that animals deserve protection from abuse, including farm animals. But that's just not the current situation in this country.
I know that America was shocked, and I'm not sure if this was this impacted you about the same time as it did most of America, when we were seeing the way some of these animals were being treated and how they were in these these corporate slaughterhouses, so to speak, and it was disgusting. And people said, "Wait a minute, there's got to be something." So here you are. You're taking action and bringing to light the abuse that has taken place, and I might even go so far, and you haven't said this, Nathan, but I would think that some of these animals that are raised for food and being treated like just pieces of meat, if that doesn't affect the quality of the food that's being put out there.
Well, there's definitely no doubt. I mean, most people don't even understand that there's not a single federal law that provides protection for farm animals during their lives on factory farms. And almost all farm animals, over 95% of them, which are birds, chickens, and turkeys, have zero federal protection at the slaughterhouse either, which means that many of them have their throats slit while they're still conscious. Millions of them go into scalding tanks of water while they're still alive. And these are breeding grounds, not only for cruelty, but for food safety concerns as well. And this is partly why we see such high rates of salmonella, E. coli, Campylobacter. Sick animals are going into our food supply on a routine basis. Mm-hmm. And there's just so little oversight in terms of the welfare of these animals. And on a state level, most of these anti-cruelty laws specifically exempt farm animals, which is why these animals are allowed to be crammed into cages and crates where they can't even turn around. They're mutilated without any painkillers. They're separated from their families. They're hauled long distances without food or water. These are types of treatment that would be illegal if it was done to a dog or a cat. But for farm animals, it's an entirely different rule book. Yet, as I said before, their ability to suffer is exactly the same.
So it's surprising. It is surprising to hear this, Nathan, and I'm glad you're coming on to share this with us, to enlighten us, because these are things we kind of take for granted. You know, come Thanksgiving, you know, we got the turkey there. We don't realize what that turkey may have gone through in that process. So this is a bit shocking. You know, this has been a focus for many years of your life and a passion. Right now, I mean, for somebody beginning to understand this lack of mercy for animals, what do you want them to remember after this conversation that you and I have? What's most important?
We all have the power to help animals. We can do that by eating less meat, participating in Meatless Mondays. Small changes can lead to big effects for animals. So, you know, every time we sit down to eat, we have the power to choose kindness over cruelty. Mm-hmm. And people should be demanding better for these animals. We really do have the power to change the world for them.
You know, we need to speak up and talk with our elected officials, making them aware, getting involved with organizations such as yours at mercyforanimals.org. You can go there and find out more information and support the cause. I mean, this seems to be a very reasonable quest. You know, because I think not only the animals, I mean, how are the people themselves who work on these farms? I mean, how do they look toward life after being exposed and just, you know, being absorbed by this kind of condition?
Well, I mean, factory farms, slaughterhouses break spirits, and that's not just of animals, it's of people that work inside of them. I mean, you can imagine your job was to slit the throats of animals for 8 hours a day. It's dehumanizing work. It leads to PTSD symptoms. I don't believe that these types of slaughterhouses have a place in a civilized society. They're not only cruel to animals, but they're cruel to people that work in them as well.
Again, we remind you, go to mercyforanimals.org for more information. His new book, Mercy for Animals, One Man's Quest to Inspire Compassion and Improve the Lives of Farm Animals. Nathan Runkle on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Nathan.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is Bill Martinez live.
Don't mess with me. No, 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 don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Say it one more time. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me.
Hey, I just got that kind of attitude. Just don't mess with me. I'm trying to soften up a little bit, so thank you for putting up with me. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and boy, I'll tell you, we got a real special guest. Tamir Elnery joins us, an undercover Muslim FBI agent. You heard it right, an undercover Muslim FBI agent. A little bit of the background. Fluent Arabic speaker, Muslim American, Tamir Elnery helps protect the U.S. by pretending to be something contrary to all his personal and religious beliefs, a jihadi sympathizer. Now, Elnery works undercover to gain the trust of active terrorist cells within the U.S. and then bring them to justice. He was born in Egypt, immigrated to the U.S. as a young child, started his career in undercover narcotics, but reached out to the FBI after he was deeply affected by the 9/11 attacks. Elnery, Tamir Elnery, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on and the book. And, you know, as I'm going through the book, I'm going, well, I mean, you're undercover, and the stories you tell, I'm sure, are set in such a way to maintain your position so that the enemy doesn't know exactly who you are.
Well, absolutely. That's very correct. And at the end of the day, it was vetted by the FBI, and I'm proud of the manuscript. I'm proud of the book. I believe it's an important message in today's day and age. It's uses an FBI counterterrorism, international counterterrorism investigation as the backdrop to tell the story and to do a deep dive into the terrorist mindset. And I'm hoping that Americans, after reading this book, will have a greater understanding of our enemy, because I think that's where it all starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm seeing for you as this being a bit holistic. I mean, for all these years, you've kind of had to bite your tongue and hold back all this information. I mean, you're pretending to be something that you're not. You're hanging around people who hate America, everything it stands for. And these are the very same people that 9/11 is just the beginning. It's not the end.
That's exactly right. And, I mean, 9/11 was devastating to us as a nation, to every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it it took on an even greater personal reason, not just because I lost people, but also because the 19 hijackers were all Arab and so-called Muslims. Mm-hmm. So I was deeply offended by that because that went against everything that I stood for, everything that I believed in personally and privately.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you do not blame Americans or America for still being a bit suspicious and cautious in dealing with the Muslim. But, you know, before 9/11, you know, you were living life as a Muslim American. You were happy to be a part of the fabric of our culture. And now all of a sudden this is turned upside down, probably no different in some regard as in World War II with the Japanese after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
That's an excellent point, Bill. And I will say, of course, I don't blame them. I understand it. I get stopped regularly at airports and I get lots of looks no matter where I go. And I understand it. I'm not offended by it. I understand it because it's human nature, not just as a nation, but as a human being. We mm-hmm. fear what we don't understand. And I'm hoping to dispel a lot of those myths in American Radical.
Tamir, why this book now, American Radical? Why now?
Because the climate that we're in, everything that you're hearing, I don't want Al-Qaeda and ISIS to be the only ones with a voice. There's 1.7 billion Muslims on the planet. I have been working in this line of work for so long, and I have kept quiet, and I still hope to continue my work moving forward because I'm not passionate about what I do for a living. But I think now more than ever, we need to be much more in tune and aware of how our enemies think, how they plan on hurting us, because it's not just for law enforcement and the intelligence community to be able to discern between a radical mindset and true tenets of the religion. I think we all should do that. We as a nation need to be aware of these terrorism indicators so that when you see something, you say something, it actually matters.
Exactly. Well, evil reigns regardless of ideology. We've seen it on display. It isn't been an exclusive to the Arab countries. We've seen it here in America with people that have been born and raised. So evil is evil. It's there. But the big question is you just brought up with all the Muslims and so many Muslims wanting to come to this country, as many have shared with me, Tamir, that they're more free in practicing their religion here in the United States than they were in their home country. Is there a meeting ground here to where, you know, Muslims can be positive contributors to the American way of life?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And that's another byproduct of this story in this book that I'm hoping for is I'm preaching unity regardless. Mm-hmm. What makes America great is the fact that we are truly everyone. We are every race, religion, ethnicity. And when we are threatened by an enemy, chances are we got someone who looks like them or sounds like them to help us defeat them. Education and inclusion is our best defense. And when we're united, there's no one who can stand against us. So if an individual, the next Tamir al-Nouri reads this, maybe he doesn't become an engineer, maybe he doesn't go to law school, maybe instead he says, you know what? I want to serve my country, whether it be through the military, law enforcement, or the intelligence community. At the end of the day, this individual raises his hand and says, you know what? I'm Muslim. I know the culture. I speak Arabic. I want to help.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping.
Can Muslim people who want to come here to the United States, can they assimilate and be able to do it and embrace the U.S. Constitution over Sharia law?
Yeah, and let's just start with that, Sharia law. Technically, that's the literal translation, but I'm not going to get personal with you or ask what your faith is, but I will say within whatever faith that you practice, what's stopping you from sinning or at least trying not to sin?
Right. Exactly.
That's what Sharia law is.
Yeah. And for me, it's the Bible, and that's why, you know, I've said to Mira on this show many times, I would not command somebody to take out, you know, tear out pages of their religious documents and something that they hold holy and sacred And I wouldn't want them to cause me to tear out pages out of my Bible either. So with all due respect, I'm saying, can we find that middle ground that allows us to hold things together in such a way to where we truly can get along and be unified as the vision that you're sharing with us? Because I share that same vision that, you know, and have experienced it in my lifetime. This is the beauty of the United States. The United States, when we are united, we are a powerful force of good. We have traditionally, I mean, we've been perfect. No, we have, nobody's claiming perfection. We're human beings, and as such, we're endemically flawed. So it is those things, whether it be Sharia law, whether it be the Bible, as I say, those restraints that have us choose good over evil more hopefully than not.
That's exactly right, Bill. That's what Sharia law is to the vast majority of Muslims across the planet. What it is it's your internal moral compass, why you don't sin, why you don't go against your religion. As a matter of fact, it's black and white in the Quran. It specifically states that you have to abide by the laws of the country you live in, provided they are not stopping you from practicing your religion. And we have religious freedom here. So when these terrorists and these radicals twist it and warp it, that is what they call Sharia law, is the laws of the land. No, Sharia law is your internal beliefs.
Okay, understood. Well, Tamir, I've heard you explain before that the hardest part of the job for you as an FBI undercover was to be embedded with people, you know, these jihadi sympathizers that you are totally antithetical with. And the way you expressed it was quite revealing. So explain to our audience what this does for you and how you have to, you know, be involved with people that, you abhor their principles.
Well, I call it flipping the switch. I pretend to be someone I hate, obviously. I put my arms around these people, tell them that I'm their best friend, gain their trust. And yes, it's sickening. But the trick for me, and it always has been, as appalled as I am by what they stand for and who they are, I latch on to some part of their humanity. In Shahab's case, an American radical, he was a brilliant scientist on the verge of curing infectious diseases. He lovingly respected his mother. He took care of his brothers financially. So those are the human parts of the monster. I latch onto those to be able to at least be believable when I tell him that I'm his best friend and I'm his brother in arms. Exactly. And that's the end always justifies the means.
Right. And I like that you, the way you approached it is that you approached it in such a way that they would choose you, not the other way around. But here in the last few seconds together, very powerfully, the way you end the book, you say, "We are everyone." What does that mean to you? We got about 30 seconds here.
Simply that we are truly everyone, and that our best defense against any enemy is education and inclusion. And we are so much stronger united than we are divided.
Amen to that. American Radical, inside the world of an undercover Muslim FBI agent. This is riveting, let me tell you. Tamir El-Nuri has been our guest. Tamir, thank you so much for sharing. This will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Great.
Book is available at all the usual places, correct?
Thank you. Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you so much. Be blessed. All right.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Water is the single